We were a prosperous country in the late 19th century. At the moment, not so much. It's heard a lot on TikTok, that song from the band Paramore. And I suppose it's interesting how in this era depressing songs can sound jaunty. To talk about these hard times and hopefully proffer some remedies is Francis Cook, former Business Desk Investments Editor, podcaster, best-selling author of Your Money, Your Future and Tales from a Financial Hot Mess. Thank you for coming on with us, Francis.
Thank you for having me.
The price of butter. Also, we remember a huge topic in the United States where it provided many votes for Donald Trump in the last presidential election. Butter there at the moment, I was reading, costs more than 13 New Zealand dollars for 500 grams, and we're heading that way ourselves. It's a lot cheaper in India, in case you're going there. Francis, we can't do anything about the price of butter, arguably, or won't. And actually, it's good for the economy as well, isn't it? High-priced butter.
I know, it's so tricky. It's one of those things where, yes, I want people who are selling things and running a business to make money, of course. But I feel like so many New Zealanders have been really feeling that pinch of those everyday costs are getting so hard to pay for. And then you've got, you know, your basics like butter, that it does sting a bit when it's produced here and then it costs so much. And I've even seen some people, I've seen little social media videos of people buying cream and shaking it in the bottle to try and make butter. Like, that blows my mind that people are getting to that point where they're like, okay, I'm basically going to churn butter for myself. And I think we're coming pretty close to a tipping point where there's actually not much left for, there's not much juice left to squeeze out of the average New Zealand consumer. I do worry how people are going to pay for things.
Yeah, juice squeezing is an interesting way of putting it. Liam Dan, I think I mentioned Liam the last time we talked in the New Zealand Herald. He makes the point that petrol price fluctuations are far worse for the back pocket probably than price rises for butter. And we moan about both, but they are out of our hands largely, unless, of course, we live in a country where governments decide to subsidise the prices, but of course there are pitfalls with doing that. And also you'd think that higher insurance premiums would hurt more than butter for many New Zealanders.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, on the insurance. I think a lot of people are starting to opt to just go without. You need to eat today, and insurance is about protecting yourself tomorrow. Yeah. So some people are just going to say, well, I guess I'll cut the policy. For anyone who's considering that, I would say if you can, especially in tough times, you can do things like you can change the amount that you're insured for, and things like that to bring your premiums down. And I would talk to your insurance provider or your broker first to see if there's little edge things you can do to bring that down first. Because, insurance, when you need it, you're going to really want it.
Health insurance, similarly, of course, you can lower, at least in the policies I'm familiar with, you know, the kind of quality or range of insurance you've got. I've heard people say, you know, the last thing I'd let go of is my health insurance. And a lot of New Zealanders have it now, actually, far more so than in the past. But again, these are hard choices to make when the cost of that goes up when you get older.
Yeah, exactly. And I do feel like a lot of people, they almost feel like insurance is one of those things that you pay into it when you don't need it. And as soon as you do need it, it becomes too expensive. So I do understand the frustration there. I think there's sometimes a bit of suspicion around financial advice in New Zealand, where you're expecting them to just want to sell you a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Finding a good broker is, of course, key. And there are ones that can be dodgy like anything else. But if you can find someone good who you've vetted, who is a proper qualified professional, and you go and talk to them and say, look, I want to make sure that if the worst happens, my life isn't ruined. And that's what insurance is there for. You don't necessarily need to have your phone insured or, you know, the premium cream of the crop health insurance. You're insured for absolutely everything. So to go and talk to a broker and I think say, these are the things that would destroy my life, and how can I have an insurance policy that covers those for as little money as possible? That's your focus. What would actually ruin your life? And that's where you need insurance.
Inflation, Francis, is no longer ravaging the economy, but it's sticking around, and headline inflation is still with us, isn't it?
Yeah, the inflation is such a mixed bag. I can understand why people are feeling the pinch. And then we've got these headlines saying, oh, it's all getting better. And people look around themselves and say, what on earth do you mean? And it's because it's a really mixed bag. So the domestic inflation in New Zealand, a lot of the factors that the government can control here within New Zealand is actually heading down. So that's great. Where that's not happening is food. So that is really tough for people because what are you going to do? And then global inflation is a mixed bag. And we are a country that imports a lot of stuff. So that global inflation, unfortunately, we can't control it anywhere near as much. It still impacts us a lot.
The real problem is the economy, isn't it? I mean, despite less surprising to some levels of confidence among some business owners, has the recovery stalled?
There's so many factors churning around at the moment. It's a bit chaotic. So it is hard to track. So our productivity is up a little bit. The gross domestic product is up a little bit. We're seeing some signs of green shoots. The issue is it's not really equal. So places like primary production, our farmers are doing better. Manufacturing, sort of the general business world, is doing a little bit better. Not heaps, but a bit. The problem, I think, is some other parts of the economy doing terribly. So you really don't want to be in construction or the arts or media like you and I right now. And what we're also seeing is even in the parts of the economy that are doing well, a lot of that isn't flowing through to wages yet. The general wages increase for New Zealand is pretty small.
Yeah, well, retail spending is still falling, albeit more slowly than it did. And it's confidence, they say, that will help drive an upturn, but how confident can you be when you're living hand to mouth?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the big problem. I think all the signs are that we're sort of what they call at the bottom of the cycle. So interest rates are probably around about as low as they're going to go. We might have one more cut, but all the signs are that this is about as good as it gets. When the Reserve Bank put out their new decision on the OCR this week and said, look, we're holding it steady, we're not really making a change, but we might have one more. What's more interesting, I find, is the statement they put out with it. The factors within New Zealand are sort of where they wanted and expected them to be. The global economy, they're saying, is pretty rocky and chaotic, and that could end up impacting us. And that's what they're slightly concerned about. So don't really expect too much more, I think, on the interest rate cuts. It's the Reserve Bank feeling pretty cautious.
You can probably explain something to us. Economists are talking about significant spare capacity and a large negative output gap in the economy, which I interpret as meaning we're kind of running on four cylinders, not six. Won't that keep inflation down?
It's so tricky for New Zealand because we have this enduring problem with productivity. We are constantly talked about as a low productivity economy, and whatever we do to try and fix it, we seem to always have this, as they say, significant spare capacity, aka we could all be earning more, but we're not. And it seems to be that way whether the economy is good or bad, really. There is an argument that the boom in AI will help people produce more value add. Those are the things that we need to be doing to work a little bit of the smarter, not harder. And it's been a classic one that we've said, you need to have value-added products. Rather than shipping out trees wholesale, turn it into furniture, you can charge more for it, ship that out instead. But New Zealand's been turning more and more towards the knowledge economy AI does help people do more with less and create those premium products. So maybe that'll finally be the factor that helps us do more. Who can say? But I think that'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on.
That won't help people who don't have actual jobs. That's the thing.
That is very true. And I think there are so many stories around at the moment of one job listing getting 1,000 applicants. For those who are out job hunting at the moment, it is hard out there. Basically, just got to keep trying and hoping for the economy to pick up a bit.
House prices. What happened to the rebound, please, Francis?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone was saying hold out for 2025, and then it did not happen. Realestate.co.nz, I was looking at their latest figures. Their figures for they released beginning of July, so these are fresh, and they had the national figure down 0.9% year on year. So that's fairly significant when you think about how much people will spend on a house, and it's been flat basically for the last 2.5 years, according to their figures. So that is very telling. And of course, we always talk about New Zealand as being a housing market with bits tacked on. It is kind of true. We put a lot of our wealth building into houses and property. So for those who are, homeowners, especially if they bought 2021, even 2020, it's really rough on that front. I think the only thing you can really do is, if you can, sit tight.
Sales volumes are up, but properties are taking longer to sell. How does that combo come about?
Well, it's partly what we were talking about before, right? Where people aren't feeling that wealthy, they're not feeling so able to take on big debts to make big moves. So a lot of people were doing exactly what I was just talking about before and trying to hold out, wait for prices to come back. And there is a certain number of people who hit a point where they said, actually, we just need to sell now. The market isn't great, but it's looking like it's going to stay not great. And we have to do something for whatever reason. We're in circumstances where we need to sell the house. So that has led to a certain number of people not being able to hold on anymore. The property goes on the market. There aren't as many buyers. There are more buyers out there than there were because of the interest rates coming down. More people can get approved. More people can pass the affordability criteria than before. But it is still very much a buyer's market out there. The good news being, if you're a first home buyer and you are in a good position, then maybe this is your time. Silver linings.
So interest rates will go lower next month, maybe, but not a lot. What's the best advice for people when choosing mortgage rates now?
Yeah, and do you know what I would say is actually maybe don't focus on the mortgage rate first. I would say, especially in a time like this where there's a lot of things happening with the economy, a lot of factors flying around, a wee bit of chaos, is look at your lifestyle first. What do you need? And that's actually going to decide a lot on your strategy, whether you want to fix, float, do something fancy like a revolving credit. And I think you want to set that strategy first and be like, what does my lifestyle require? And then after that, it's hunting out the best interest rate. Now, it is always, people do not bully their banks enough. I'm just going to say it.
Oh, that's right. Here
Bully
we go.
me, please.
Bully your bank.
I just did this. I promise. I do what I say. Where, I was looking at, we've come up to refix, and I was looking around and I saw different banks offering cashbacks. You can often get a cashback of up to 1% of the value of your mortgage. That's often thousands of dollars. And so I just shopped around and called up the different banks and said, what would you give me if I came to you? What's the best interest rate? And would you give me a cashback as well? And just gently bullied them all. And then went to my bank and said, look, here's what they're offering me. Can you match it? And they did. So I didn't even have the hassle of moving banks. They just matched everyone else and gave me some money back as well. Very nice, thank you. I'll never say no to that. So do just gently bully your bank.
It is possible that we'll see a long flat period for housing like we did 20, 25 years ago, year after year, especially as rents have become more stable. What do you think?
Everyone's crystal ball is dodgy, and there are so many factors, including the global ones, that can impact on our housing market. But the best analysis and forecasting that we're seeing is, yeah, it might just stay a bit flat for a while. So don't bank on your house price going up. Don't put your whole money strategy on that right now.
The markets, couple more things before we let you go. The markets aren't really reacting to Trump's latest tariff news. I think you have a theory that we're getting used to chaos.
Yeah, I mean, this really came through for me the most strongly when I saw what happened with the US Iran tensions. And every textbook response to that should have been oil prices went through the roof, share market crashes, you see it in your KiwiSaver, general sort of panic and thrashing around. And there was a bit of a disturbance, and then it kind of all just went back to normal. It went back to the baselines and everything was fine. And we've had other things since then. You know, like you say, the big beautiful bill, and there's a lot happening, the tariffs threat, deadlines being extended, general uncertainty. All of this is kryptonite to the financial world, and yet it's just kind of ticking along. And it's a response that is almost like the financial world has gone through so much chaos recently, especially the last 6 months, that it's now hit a point where it just sort of side-eyes this stuff and says, yeah, we're going to stop trying to predict what's coming next, and we're just going to respond as needed when something concrete actually happens. So KiwiSaver balances actually haven't been too bad. Oil prices have stayed somewhat the same. And it's a really interesting thing where it seems that chaos is a little bit the new normal. I mean, for the most part, I think that's probably a good thing. It does speak to a rather worrying trend, though, if we're all getting so used to chaos.
Yeah, it's
hopefully
interesting.
Things calm down a bit.
Yeah, it's interesting that market analysts, as you say, seem to be looking at things with a colder eye now instead of what we once saw as a kind of hysterical response. Yeah, it does seem to have changed. What would you, at the risk of annoying people listening who've got no money to speak of, what would you, and that's a lot of people right now, what would you be doing with whatever spare money you had at the moment?
Oh, yeah, and exactly. I think the really important thing is to always say, you know, you can't budget your way out of poverty. And I think all personal finance and money advice comes down to, if you can, depending on your situation, there's always a difference between poverty and broke. But even if you are feeling really broke, actually what you should do with your money, for the most part, doesn't really change, especially when we're looking at, you know, things are a bit wonky at the moment. The classic thing often people get told to do is stay out of high interest debt. It takes off one bill that you don't have to worry about so much, and it just eases the finances on you a little bit. Anything from that, if you don't have debt yet, boosting up your savings a bit can, again, give you so much stability and security. I think when things are a bit chaotic, giving yourself those peace of mind money moves where you can give yourself breathing space, and then having that little bit of calm will let you look ahead more, plan ahead a bit more, and you're not making decisions out of that feeling of panic and urgency, which is always when you make, you know, tricky calls that probably aren't for the best.
Frances, thank you. Always nice to talk to you. I look forward to the next time.
Yes, thank you so much. Lovely to chat.